Ladies and gentlemen, can you hear me? I'm back.
Yes.
Welcome. I hope you've had a great lunch. Welcome to this afternoon. And I have promised that this will be a really short introduction. It will be the introduction is entitled Limericks. Now, one of the people I'm going to introduce you to is from Limerick City. The other is from Limerick County. I leave you to guess which is which. The first person on my piece of paper is a poet, a playwright, and a fiction writer. And I have 5.5 inches of information about her on a piece of paper in front of me, but I think you better experience her. She will introduce herself by what she does. The second is a poet and a painter. I have been asked to say nothing except what I'm about to say now as an introduction to both of them. What I'm about to say is the official introduction to the two people who can come up here when they're ready. It has 17 syllables. Tell them no stories. One said only a haiku. Slade and O'Connor.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm the O'Connor branch of the firm here, Claire O'Connor. And thank you, Paul, for your brief and witty introduction. I'm having a lovely time in Ennistyme, and we arrived yesterday afternoon. As I was coming in the entrance, Fred Johnson was on the steps near the very friendly line, so I patted the lines, nodded to Fred, came in, met Joanne, met Barbara, and had a lovely evening last night and a lovely morning today. So I hope I can entertain you this afternoon.
Sorry, I'm moving this closer to you.
Is that okay?
I think it's okay. Can you get as close as you can to
me? I can. Is that okay? Can I be heard?
Yeah.
I'll stay here.
Okay. My godmother, Clarissa Lamborn, sent me a copy of A Child's Christmas in Wales when I was 12. I was delighted with the antics of the boy and his friend Jim in this prose piece. There was drama and hyperbole, long, long ago when there were wolves in Wales. The snow seemed to come for Christmas, as if ordered in. When fire broke out in the Prothero house the afternoon of Christmas Eve, Mrs. Prothero shouted, "Fire!" and "Ruin!" while banging on a gong, like the town crier in ancient Pompeii. Mr. Prothero waved his slipper about ineffectually at smoke clouds. The firemen came. Then, as three tall firemen stood around amongst the cinders and smoke, Jim's Aunt Prothero, who, according to Dylan Thomas, always said the right thing, asked the firemen, "Would you like anything to read?" Humour, gusto, and keen observation of character pervades the piece. He can't remember whether it snowed for 6 or 12 days. Dylan Thomas and his friend Jim consider posting a snowball through a neighbour's letterbox, or perhaps writing on his snowy lawn, "Mr. Daniel looks like a spaniel." The postman delivers seasonal presents. Aunts and uncles indulge in Christmas food and drink. Aunt Hannah puts rum in her tea because it was only once a year. Later in life, as a teacher in London and Ireland, I enjoyed teaching Fern Hill, The Death by Fire of a Child in London, and of course, his wonderful villanelle for his dying father, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night. I put on a reading of Under Milkwood with my sixth form students, and they relished it. High praise indeed. As a writer of radio plays myself, I appreciated his skill in hooking the listener from the very first word and holding on to them to the last. His sense of humour and force of energy was huge. The fictional village, Clargub, this is pronounced with a Welsh accent, in Under Milk Wood, read it backwards and it spells bugger all. The facts of his short life, he died just a month after he was 39, they are dramatic and sensational. The heavy drinker, the womanizer, the fraught relationship with his wife, Kathleen, the careless father, but he left behind huge gifts too. He is often thought of as a maverick poet, an outsider, as if he sprung from nowhere. I want to challenge that view of him today and place at least one important aspect of his work within the long tradition of literature, both celebrating and also mourning childhood. So I've entitled this little talk, Remembering Childhood, Dylan Thomas. Dylan Thomas's childhood was one of the great animators of his imagination. His young self haunted his adulthood. In his poem called Poem in October, written when he was only 30, he was already mourning his infancy. The twice told feels of infancy, his tears burned my cheeks and his heart moved in mine. Remembering childhood is a major theme in literature in English, and it has gone through extraordinary mutations from generation to generation and epoch to epoch. Wordsworth says that the great poet is the writer who preserves the child whole within himself. And in his poem, Ode on the Intimations of Immortality, he tries to recapture the radiant innocence of childhood. There was a time when meadow, grove and stream, the earth and every common sight, to me did seem apparelled in celestial light, the glory and the freshness of a dream. For Wordsworth, the soul pre-exists the child's arrival in the world, an idea that derives ultimately from Plato. I won't say much about Plato and his problems, but what he wanted to solve with this idea was two things. Firstly, the immortality of the soul, and secondly, the knowledge human beings have of what he calls the forms, such as unity, beauty, justice, etc. Things we never actually meet except in a degraded form in this world. The fact that we know what they are, Plato argues, indicates that we must have a memory of them when we pre-existed our earthly sojourn in a higher world. Of course, Aristotle disagreed with Plato's view, and I leave you to adjudicate between the two, but Wordsworth expressed this idea in his great ode, The soul that rises with us, our life's star, hath had elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar. Not in entire forgetfulness and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God who is our home. Heaven lies about us in our infancy. This last line, heaven lies about us in our infancy, could be a summary of the main current of feeling in Dylan Thomas's great ode to childhood, Fern Hill, when he says, Now, as I was young and easy, under the apple boughs, about the lilting house, and happy as the house was grass was green, the night above the dingle starry, time let me hail and climb, golden in the heydays of his eyes. I'll say a little more about this poem later. Another great Welsh poet from the 17th century, Henry Vaughan, celebrates a very similar vision of childhood in his poem called The Retreat. He says, "Happy those early days when I shined in my angel infancy, before I understood this place, appointed for my second race, or taught my soul to fancy old, what a white celestial thing." Vaughan describes the long fall from grace and dreams in the end of returning to his prelapsarian innocence. "Some men a forward motion love, but I by backward steps would move. And when this dust falls to the urn, in that state I came, return." What is striking about these visions of childhood is how infused they are with light, with a golden glow, with timelessness, and to a greater or lesser extent, with a sense of loss. I will give you one more brief extract in this rich stream of literature in English. It is from the 17th century poet and theologian Thomas Traherne's Rhapsody on Childhood and How the Child Views the World. "The corn was orient and immortal wheat, which never should be reaped, nor ever was sown. I thought it had stood from everlasting to everlasting. The dust and stones of the street were as precious as gold. The gates were at first the end of the world. The green trees, when I saw them first, through one of the gates, transported and ravished me." There were such strange and wonderful things, boys and girls tumbling in the streets and playing were moving jewels. I knew not that they were born or should die. Eternity was manifest in the light of the day, and something infinite behind everything appeared, which talked with my expectation and moved my desire. He finishes this paragraph as follows: "So that with much ado I was corrupted and made to learn the dirty devices of this world, which I now unlearn and becomes, as it were, a little child again, that I may enter into the kingdom of God." This comes from Thomas Traherne's Centuries of Meditations. Traherne was born in Hereford on the River Wye, a few miles from the Welsh border. He went to Oxford and took holy orders. His work has been described as the ecstatic harmony of a child with the natural world. But only one of his works, Roman Forgeries, was published in his lifetime. Traherne's vision of childhood in his writings is thought to have been influenced by Henry Vaughan's The Retreat that I mentioned and quoted from earlier. He also influenced Thomas Merton, Dorothy L. Sayers, Elizabeth Jennings, and C.S. Lewis. Lewis called Traherne's Centuries of Meditations almost the most beautiful book in English. I feel that Dylan Thomas must have read it too. Most people will have come across Dylan Thomas's A Child's Christmas in Wales that I mentioned. He dashed it off at the BBC radio for much needed money. The prose piece teems with relatives observed with wonder and amusement. "Some few large men sat in the front parlours with their collars, or without their collars rather, uncles almost certainly trying their new cigars, holding them out judiciously at arm's length, returning them to their mouths, coughing, then holding them out again as though waiting for an explosion. And some few small ants, not wanted in the kitchen, nor anywhere else for that matter, sat on the very edge of their chairs, poised and brittle, afraid to break, like faded cups and saucers." It is also full of images of snow, animals, glittering stars, ice cream hills and the crackling sea. It contains echoes for every one of us who remember childhood Christmases, a sense of infinite variety, but also repetition. "Looking through my bedroom window, out into the moonlight and the unending smoke-filled coloured snow, I could see the lights in the windows of all the other houses on our hill, and hear the music rising from them of the long, steady falling night. I turned the gas down. I got into bed. I said some words to the close and holy darkness, and then I slept." The quintessential childhood poem by Dylan Thomas is, of course, Frowning Hill. And John F. Dean read it in its entirety this morning, so I'll read a little bit from it just to recapture it. It opens with, "Now as I was young and easy, under the apple boughs, about the lilting house, and happy as the grass was green, the night above the dingle starry, time let me hail and climb, golden in the heydays of his eyes. And honoured among wagons, I was prince of the apple towns, and once below a time, I lordly had the trees and leaves, trail with daisies and barley, down the rivers of the windfall light. And as I was green and carefree, famous among the barns, about the happy yard, and singing as the farm was home." The Fern Hill poem is suffused with light, green and golden. The boy escapes the chains of time and lives in a sunless eternity. In those images, Dylan Thomas participates in the long tradition of the childhood memory poem. "In the sun born over and over, I ran my heedless ways." In this poem, of course, the glory of childhood is imminent and in the moment itself, and does not derive from a memory of a pre-existent life, as I mentioned earlier. Yet the imagery and the expressive mode show a clear continuity with the 17th century mystical tradition and the 19th century romantic movement, as I quoted from Wordsworth earlier. I refer to one other Dylan Thomas poem, his poem In October, with its wonderful imaginative return to the locale of his childhood and the transformative vision of the child's eye. His inner weather turns from his 30-year-old self to the child he was. "It turned away from the blithe country and down the other air in the blue Audrey sky, streamed again the wonder of summer with apples, pears and red currants. And I saw in the turning so clearly a child's forgotten mornings when he walked with his mother through the parables of sunlight and the legends of the green chapels. And the twice-told fields of infancy that his tears burned my cheeks and his heart moved in mine. These were the woods and the river and the sea, where a boy in the listening summertime of the dead whispered the truth of his joy to the trees and the stones and the fish in the tide. And the mystery sang alive, still in the water and singing birds. And there could I marvel my birthday away, but the weather turned around. And the true joy of the long dead child sang, burning in the sun. It was my 30th year to heaven, stood there then in the summer noon, though the town below may leave with October love. Oh, may my heart's truth still be sung on this high hill in a year's turning." He mentions the chapel, you know, green chapels there, and I feel a lot of his language that feels rousing and wonderful to us comes from the chapel tradition in Wales of sermons. It's odd to think that just 18 years, though, after Dylan Thomas's death, that Philip Larkin could so revise the vision of childhood in his short poem, This Be the Verse. This Be the Verse by Philip Larkin. "They fuck you up, your mum and dad. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had and add some extra just for you. But they were fucked up in their turn by fools in old-style hats and coats, who half the time were sock and stern and half at one another's throats. Man hands on misery to man. It deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can and don't have any kids yourself." Of course, this was after the invention of teenagers in the late 50s and 60s. Nowadays, our vision of childhood in Ireland has been brutally contaminated by the revelations of recent years, and it is something that we must have to face up to. This is a poem of my own called Amaze. "Navigating the box hedge labyrinth, he comes again